What's up, guys? Welcome back. Another episode of Push Through. Got JJ back. Missed you, bud. Missed you last week.
That was a good episode last week, though. I'm glad you had the wife on.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like brought it up as a joke, like, well, I'm going to go record by myself unless you want to come. And she's like, oh, I'll record. What do you want to talk about? The race? I'm like, fucking send it.
Yeah, it was perfect. Now we just got to get her to run that 100K.
Well, I got her to sign up for that backyard ultra.
Oh, so man.
She's going to be doing that with me on December 9th. That's her birthday, too.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was like, you know what we should do on your birthday? We should run an ultra marathon.
Heck yeah, dude.
Before we dive into that, though, there's something I couldn't wait to talk to you about. Because as I guess, I think everybody knows that this started as a money podcast.
Right.
And I still think, and I still firmly believe that if you have your money right, the rest of your life is going to be dope.
It's going to be
like, I think it's very, very important. I think it's just as important as fitness.
I mean, real quick, just to bring up, speaking of your wife, one of the main reasons in the United States and probably around the world why divorce rates are so high is because of finances.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, I mean, when you have your money right, and I think when we first started, Mr. Money Mustache was all the rage, right? And
yes,
I remember seeing him speak once and he was like, everyone like wants to label me like this financial guru and they think that I care about people's money. Like, I don't give a shit about your money.
Right.
But what I do know is that when people have their money right, they're happier and I want a happier world. So if I got to get to if that's my angle to a happier world, is at helping people get their money right, then so be it, right? Well, I tell you all that to tell you all this.
Okay.
Seeing Corey's post yesterday in the Discord, yeah. Like, besides the fact that the dude has been supporting us, supporting you and I separately, supporting podcasts, supporting Average Money, supporting the YouTube channel, like, the dude, I think he pays for all of our Discords. You know, to see him become debt-free and pay his mortgage off, like, I don't think that words, and I'm glad we get to talk about it because, I mean, we post like, congratulations, bud.
Right.
Good work, you know. But I don't think that you can write in text in a Discord or portray how much, I'm not speaking for you, but how much it fires me up. Like, I love clapping when people win. And I don't want people to think that I've forgotten about money and personal finance because we're talking about running and fitness. Like, the fitness part is just the evolution. Absolutely. And all of that fitness and evolution is built on the foundation that you and I, we focus very, very strongly on having our money right. And you have a paid off mortgage. I personally don't have a paid off mortgage. And we can discuss that for anybody that's kind of new to the podcast on why.
I used to.
Yeah.
Now I don't have anything.
Yeah, now you don't have anything. Now you're homeless. But yeah, I mean, like I said, Corey's, we've been around for so long. Like, I've been watching Corey's story now, and it's just.
Well, add to that, he's also running now. He ran his first 5K the other day, right?
It was his birthday.
On his birthday.
So look at this fucking day that this guy had. He had a birthday, which, I mean, as I get older, I'm a grown man. I've heard Joe Rogan say that men shouldn't get excited about their birthdays. Fuck that. I love getting excited about my birthday. You know, but birthday, first 5K, and he paid off his mortgage. Yo, dude, that's a day. That is a day.
Dude, that's awesome, man.
He mile streaked for like a month too leading into it. Mm-hmm. So he just get off the couch and go. He's been run. He bought a Garmin, like, and now he doesn't have a mortgage.
I mean, more props to you, my man. Like, that's so awesome to see. And it's not like, I mean, and not to like downplay paying off debt and stuff, but dude, paying off your freaking mortgage, that's life-changing. That's the one of your biggest expenses in life is your mortgage.
Yes.
And the fact that that's gone, the dude got a major pay raise.
Yeah,
pay raise. He bought back freedom is what he did.
I mean, let's say on the low end, his mortgage was $1,000 a month.
Right.
He's got himself a $12,000 raise. Unreal. And I bet you it was a little more than $1,000. He'll tell us in the Discord if he wants. He doesn't have it anymore. I'm sure he could tell us. But yeah, I mean, if it was $1,000 a month of a mortgage, that's a $12,000. That's, he can essentially go on a $12,000 vacation this year and feel no different in lifestyle.
Yeah. And he's so young.
Oh, God.
So young, dude. Like, he has the rest of his life to never have to pay a mortgage again.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
And it's funny because our evolution is I go through like cycles and then like I get FOMO, you know, like hearing him pay his mortgage off. I'm like, when you paid yours off, I'm like, oh man, should I just pay it off? And then I like do the math. Here's the short story for anybody that doesn't know. I refied at the bottom. I have a stupid low interest rate. I do not know the official number, but it's under 3%. I want to say 2.85 or something like that.
Yeah, that's tough.
I'm also liquid the amount of my payoff. So if something were to happen to my job or something like that, I could pay off my mortgage to make my life a little bit easy. Because we've discussed like paying off your mortgage should be definitely interest rate based. But it should also be based
especially in this environment.
It should be based on income and stuff like that. Like, because I'm liquid and can pay it off and I have a low interest rate, I personally, with my experience in personal finance, know that I can probably get a better return on my money and that's going to be okay. I also have a 15-year term, which I'm already accelerating it and getting it off. I'm paid off. And my job security is pretty strong. Like, I don't need to free that money up in case of, you know, a fickle financial situation, which was kind of the thing that drove you to pay yours off, is you said, hey, I got this YouTube thing. I'm working for myself. My wife's working part-time. I love the YouTube thing. But if something were to happen, she wasn't even working then.
No.
So you were like, hey, I could pay this mortgage off. And then if we have a down month in YouTube or something like that, you'd be, so it's not as cut and dry as you should pay off your mortgage.
Right. I mean, absolutely.
We are examples of that, but that doesn't mean, like, I consider myself not having a mortgage really, even though I do, because I am liquid it. But seeing him pay it off, I'm like, that is a feeling I have not felt in life. Like, I know what it's like to be consumer debt free. I haven't had any debt besides my mortgage since September of 2018. But no, 9/18/19. My son was born in 19. So September 19th, I became debt free, consumer debt wise, my truck, personal loans and student loans, credit cards, things like that. But yeah, like I know I'll get there, but that's gotta, what's that feeling like, dude? What's it like?
I mean, there's, for you, I guess it'd be a little different because you still have really high property taxes and stuff. But like, dude, like when I paid mine off, I literally told myself, almost every bill I have now, besides like electric and internet and phone and shit, I said I could live on nothing for a month if I really needed to, because I have nothing to pay for now. We all know I got kids, you know, you got food and stuff like that. But like realistically, if I needed to have a bone dry month of not spending money, I'd have a few bills I'd have to pay for and that's it. And it's just it's a freedom. It's a feeling of freedom, dude. Like, knowing I don't owe a single person a single dollar besides like my mortgages on my rental properties, which my tenants pay for those. Like, it's an incredible feeling. It's awesome. It's freedom. It's like, you know, when you're out running on your run and you get that quick runner's high, it's like that. I mean, it's just an amazing.
And it's like that reel that you posted last week where like you drop Mace off at school and you're all scrubbed out and you see all these dads coming in with like their ties on and their uniforms and their scrubs. And you're like, man, am I supposed to be going to work right now? And then you're
that was a messed up thought, man. Like, that was a messed up feeling I had. It was weird. I never thought I'd like, I don't know. I was walking Millie into school and dropped her off. And when I was walking out, and in the story on my Instagram, it shows, or the reel, it shows like t-shirt, running shorts, and flip-flops. I mean, my hair was all messed up. Like, I just got out of bed. And then I walk out of the daycare, and I'm getting ready to go on a run and do some stuff. And I see these three dads walk in all in a row. One of them was in his pilot uniform. The other one was in scrubs, and the other one was in business attire. And I walked out and I had this, like, it was almost like a, how do I explain this? Like, I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do as a dad.
Yeah. Cause inherently you are very traditional and you're like,
absolutely,
I'm the man of the house. I provide.
Yeah.
And you've done, I mean, you front loaded a lot of work and you just sold a tech company and you know, you're providing, but
yeah. And
you know,
it was weird though, dude. Like, I'm like, I'm about to go home. I got a couple things on my to-do list today. Like,
put a bookshelf up. That's gonna be on your to-do list. No, but I mean, even you being in Florida, you know, circle back to this mortgage thing, you know, most people now that everyone's talking about, like, oh, my house tripled in price in 3 years. And most people are like, yeah, I could sell my house for this, but they still have to take a large chunk of that and pay their mortgage off. Where you were like, hey, do you want to go travel nurse and move around the country? And do you want to maybe take a shot living in Florida? Like, let's just sell our house and we don't have a mortgage. So that's all going in our pocket. And that was before you sold the company. So it gave you literally like 3 or 4 years salary to figure it out. Your wife was going to go back to work. You didn't have any, like when you said that you can live on nothing, like a bare bones month for you was still like minimum wage. We're talking like, oh, you could probably live off of under $2,500 a month. I mean, like,
oh, in Missouri, I mean, yeah, less than that. If we needed to, yeah.
And I said, with your work ethic and like, you know what it's like to hustle. You've always been a hustler. So it's like, without that mortgage, you're like, I could go work at Starbucks and still like put money on the table if I really needed to.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, that's awesome. We get so much good news inside the Discord, and whether it's our personal ones or whether it's push throughs, I just wanted to say out loud so Corey could hear me say it. Like, good on you, bud.
Likewise.
Good on you. Cause that's
shout
like,
out to Corey.
Yeah. Fair play, man. That's just awesome. And I look forward to, you know, hearing more stories. Cause we have been getting DMs of people like working out and things like that. And, finding that angle of fitness, and man, this is a good time of year to run. You know, they say summer miles bring fall smiles. Like,
ooh, I like that.
Ah, dude, today I ran on the treadmill because my wife is working tonight. And, but like yesterday I got out and it's 55 degrees and sunny with a slight breeze.
Perfect.
Go out with shorts on and maybe like a long sleeve, like loose base layer or a tech shirt. And it's like, you just feel like you could run forever.
Yeah, it's 70s every day down here now. It's like 50s in the morning.
50s in the morning?
Yeah, and then 70s during the day.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's like perfect weather.
Man, I still feel like we have so much we could talk about. Do you want it? Can you talk? I don't know like what your NDAs are. Can you talk about the sale of that business? Because I don't even think we ever did. Or do you just not feel comfortable with it or out of respect for your partners and stuff? They know you own the dividend tracker, but like maybe I'm trying to think of like the educational piece that we could bring to the table of like anybody that's thinking about starting it or like what it's like to get out of a business. Cause I've gotten out of two businesses now and the process is generally should be smooth. Sometimes it's not smooth, but there's definitely tough conversations and negotiations and things like that. I don't know if we've ever talked about it and I don't know how deep you want to go, but.
Yeah. I mean, I can't talk like price and stuff, but, I mean, I can talk about pretty much anything else.
Go ahead.
So like, I mean, basically this, I think probably the hardest part was the decision. The decision one to even bring up the conversation, cause it was my idea, and the decision of also deciding what I felt my part was worth in getting that valuation. And then third, the decision on how it was all going to play out.
Yeah.
So it was like a three-step part of there. And the first part being the decision to even do it, to exit the company, was for multiple reasons. Some of them were personal with moving, a new start, a couple other things within the business Everything was going great. Business was doing great. And the business, you know, still growing. I just personally felt like it wasn't really, it wasn't for me anymore. The part I was doing, I got back to doing a job that I didn't want to do. I woke up and I was like, this isn't, I'm not excited anymore. And I always told myself, if I don't like something, even if that's going to hinder my income or my future net worth, I don't care. I don't care. Like, money's important to me, but happiness is 10 times more important. So there was just a few things. And then also like financial reasons too. Like the company was starting to grow to be a very significant amount of my net worth. And I also looked at it as like, what would happen if this company, let's say something bad happened and the value of the company just plummeted back down to damn near nothing. I couldn't take that risk. I couldn't do it. Now if I had some more stuff set in stone, or if I was, you know, if it wasn't as large as it got, then maybe it'd be okay and I would take the risk, but I kind of wanted to get out while it was good for me. And like I said, the company was doing fine. The company was doing great. And the company is still growing, which I hope my partners sell it for much more than I got. But for me, it was this, it was the right time, right place. And I have zero regrets on leaving. So that was the first part, was just deciding that and talking it over with Lindsay. And then with that, I knew though, and even Bryce, my partner, asked me, he's like, well, what are you going to do after this? And I was like, that's a great question, dude. I was like, I have some ideas, but I don't really know. So that was also in the back of my head, because I've been a guy that's always been working nonstop, always. Like, I've always had something I'm building, working on. And this was the first time in my life where I literally had like nothing going on, like nothing that I was like I needed to grow, you know, like nothing that was paying my bills and I had to keep doing it for that bills to be paid. Like, that was the first time I've ever, I guess, officially been financially free, if you want to call it. So the next part was like, okay, well, pricing, how is that going to figure out? And that was kind of back and forth between certain ratios to look at and businesses, but I don't really want to get into that just for sake of partners and stuff like that. And then third was the negotiations on how it was going to happen. I kind of had my terms that I thought were pretty fair, since I was kind of throwing this on my partners. For those that don't know, I called my partners and said, hey, I kind of want out. So I put that into the formula of how I came up with what I came up with. And both partners seemed that was pretty fair. And then the structure of the deal, we had to work on a little bit, just based on, you know, borrowing money, lending terms, stuff like that, valuations of the business. So that was something we had to discuss in negotiations as well. Again, I can't really get into the details of how the deal was played out, but yeah, man, the negotiation part was actually, it was not bad. And I think a lot of that was because of, I was friends with my original partner, and I still am to this day. And I told him from the very first phone call, I was like, dude, I do not want this to go south. Like, I want us to work together. Even though there was there wasn't arguments, but there was times in the negotiations where I agreed with something and he agreed with something else. And that was kind of tough to navigate, but we both kept a clear head on. We both were not being arrogant or neither one of us were not being unfair. And we both recognized that, which helped also. So that really helped keep negotiations clean.
Yeah.
Lawyers got involved, muddied the waters a little bit, as they always do, but nothing too concerning, nothing too crazy. I think both sides knew that the deal was going to get done. It was just a matter of a few minor things. And then, yeah, dude, I mean, the actual day it happened, you would expect like something big to happen or whatever. But I think I posted on my Instagram a picture. We were actually going, the family and I drove to Panama City because we knew we were going to be signing. I was going to be signing papers and closing was going to be happening. So we were driving to Panama City to celebrate and just to have like a random quick trip. So as we're driving, I told Lindsay, I was like, sorry, you're going to have to drive because I know these papers are going to come in. I got to have to e-sign them and then send this back in. She's like, yeah, no problem. So she's, you know, driving 5 hours to Panama City, and I'm sitting here waiting on the email, and I'm waiting and I'm waiting. And I'm like, boom, there it is. Signed the papers. You know, money was wired that day. And I looked at Lindsay. I was like, I would have expected this to be a lot more exciting instead of sitting in a passenger seat in a car in the middle of nowhere, Florida, you know, like, but then, you know, the family and I celebrated and we had a good time, and I checked something off my list that I never thought I would have been able to do, you know, just, I mean, selling a business. So that was pretty cool, man. And I'll be honest with you though, I've had some mental, so now fast forward, now the business has been sold. I've had some free time. As we know, I've really been working on fitness and running and found this brand new hobby and whatnot, but I have had some mental battles of kind of what I'm going to do next. And I think that plays into the fact of like who I am as a person. I'm always a person, like I said before, I've always had something going on. I've always had something I'm working on, whatever. And I've also had that, like I said before, it was something that drove me because I needed to have it. I had to pay bills. I had to feed my family. Like that drove me. But now I'm kind of like can relax a little bit. And I don't know how to turn off that part of my brain where it's like, I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to do this. So that's been a big struggle. And then also, which I didn't think this would kind of bother me, but like when I'm talking, like we've been meeting a lot of new people down here. And guys, you know, first question they always ask, oh, what do you do? I'm like, well, I run. No, like, what do you say to that? So
you say I'm retired.
Well, I mean,
or I'm an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't know. It's sometimes I tell people that I'm Lindsay said I'm fun employed. F-U-N instead of unemployed.
Fun employed.
So like I like that. I use that sometimes because like sometimes
I'm self-employed.
Yeah, that too. And like sometimes I just don't want people like to know either. Like, I mean, that sounds weird because I'm literally broadcasting this on a podcast, but like it's different when you're meeting people in personal life, you know. It's just I don't want to come off like I don't know. That's
tell people you're a teacher because nobody ever wants to talk to a teacher.
Okay, I'll start using that.
Whenever somebody's like, what do you do for a living? And I'm like, oh, I'm a teacher. They're like, okay, cool. I got, oh, wait. Oh, yeah, yeah, I'll be right there. Hold on.
I'll be right back. Yeah.
But like, I'm like, oh, yeah, do the YouTube thing. Oh, what's that like? What's that?
Yeah. Yep.
You can be whatever you want, man.
So that's been the biggest thing. I was like, the mental fact of it and like what I'm doing next, what the next game plan is. Cause I know I can't just like sit on my ass and do nothing. I have been trying to take this time though to really like, as people have seen on Instagram and stuff, like really hone in on fitness. I found a new love for running, which never thought that would have happened in my life. And it's just, it's a cool time right now, dude. Like I'm getting to spend more time with my kids. It's pretty like, here's a cool story real quick. On my Facebook, you know how, I don't know if you're on Facebook at all, but like memories pop up every now and then. It's like 6 years ago, you did this. So I had one pop up 2 weeks ago, maybe a week ago. And it said 6 years ago was this. And then it was a picture. And I don't know if I've ever told you this story. So Lindsay and I were living in Kansas City at the time. And we just moved back. Mason was probably 3 months old, around there, 4 months old. We moved back home to Lindsay's hometown to be closer to family. And when that happened, I quit my engineering job at Kansas City. So I was unemployed. I wasn't working, but that was because Lindsay had a job lined up in St. Louis as a nurse. So we're like, okay, cool. She's got her job. We'll live in your dad's basement for like a month until we can find a place to rent. We're good. We move to Missouri, sell our house, you know, everything's good to go. We get into her dad's basement. Boom. Lindsay gets some email saying, hey, sorry, we've had to pull your job offer. Some things happen. Now we are both unemployed and living in her dad's basement. And we're like 20, 25 at this time, I think. So like, you know, don't have a pot to piss in besides whatever money we made from our house selling that. And we're just like, shit, what are we going to do? We got a 4-month old, us two, like we can't live in your dad's basement forever. Like we got to figure out what the hell we're going to do. So fast forward to where the picture was from on Facebook with the memories popping up. It showed a picture of a house and, you know, you said hustler and stuff like, dude, I was like, I'm not going to not make money, you know, while my wife and baby's sitting here in the basement of her dad's house. I found a post on Craigslist back when Craigslist was a thing. And it said construction help or remodel help or whatever. Well, I knew I wanted to get into real estate, right? So I was like, oh, cool. Maybe this guy is an investor and he needs help remodeling, whatever. So he calls me, does like a little weird interview. Didn't really do anything. It was just like, hey, who are you? Whatever. He's like, all right, come here. I'll pay you cash. Show up. So then I showed up and I was just helping the guy remodel, like, you know, clean up trash, fixing his deck, power washing, remodeling a bathroom, some stuff like that. Just random shit. So I took a picture of the house and I posted it on Facebook. I was like, hey, everyone, thank you. Cause I made a post like locally, like anyone looking for work, I'm here. Like I can do whatever. So I was like, just thank you. And I'm like, this is the house I'm helping remodel currently. So I saw that and I'm like, holy shit, dude. 6 years ago today, I was helping remodel a house and get this, the guy he hired to be like my partner, cause the dude would just kind of show up in the morning, the owner of the house, he would just show up, tell us what he wanted us to get done for the day, and he would leave. So this other guy who was my partner for the day just got out of jail, had, you know, skinhead, had the tats everywhere, and just drank like a freaking, I don't even know what you call it. The dude would like bring a case of beer and like hide it from the guy until he left, and he would crack open beer as we were working. I had some beers too, I'm not gonna lie. But dude, it was a weird time, man. Like it was such a weird time, but it was so cool though to look back on that and be like, holy shit, just 6 years ago, my wife and I were both unemployed. I was hustling to make some cash, had a 3-month, you know, 4-month old baby living in her dad's basement. 6 years later, I sold a tech company, living a pretty decent life.
Yeah.
And, you know, and all the highs and lows I had in between there, from YouTube, from starting Dividend Tracker and all this other stuff, dude, it's just, it's been a wild ride for the past 6 years.
So much stuff I want to circle back on, but that's that memories thing. That's the same as why I still write in that journal every day.
Yeah.
You know, because
absolutely,
I'm going to get one of those in my own handwriting and my own interpretations and things like that. But what I want to circle back to is, you know, we had very similar situations, and throughout the sale, you know, we talked about things and you mostly asked about my experiences with selling businesses. And we talked a lot about selling on the way up. And I sold the brewery on the way up and everybody called me a donkey. Even my wife was like, Brad, is this smart? Mm-hmm. Like we were literally quadrupling revenue yearly in our sixth year. It's so hard, but I needed, like you said, I needed the time. I needed to take the sacrifice. And if I would have worried about how much money Chris is going to make or will make when he sells Dubco, I don't know if I would have been able to do that. Like you really, I guess the advice and the learning piece is, and we learned this from John Scholler very early, and that was, he helped me, that what he said in that simple moment that, you know, that was one of the things that pushed me to make the decision I did. And he was like, if the deal's a good deal for you, it doesn't matter what the deal is for anybody else. And I think he used a car example. He's like, if it was $1 million car and the guy was selling it for $500K, would you buy the car? Hell yeah, you would. It's half off. He goes, but if you found out that the guy got it as a gift and he didn't pay anything for it and he was going to make $500K, do you still want the car? And most people would be like, no, F that guy. He got it for free. Like, and they would lose out on that once amazing deal, which was the same deal in their own head because they were worried about what somebody else was. And if you're going to sell a business, and this is kind of where we got, it was like, if you receive an amount of money or whatever terms it is, and you are happy with those terms, it does not matter what the other person is going to get. And when you also put that aside, it makes it so much easier to be happy and proud of them when they did. Mm-hmm. My first business, the breakup wasn't a good breakup. And I spent so many years not wanting it to fail, but like not giving a shit.
Right.
I don't want anybody to be out of work. I didn't want them to lose the business, but I didn't care about its perpetual growth. And if I would have been spiteful of Chris or worried about what Chris was making, then I wouldn't be able to support him when I see that he bought a 35-acre farm literally the year after I got bought out. And now that place has a restaurant. He's got 2 locations. He's got 10 staff. He's distributed in pretty much every state. And if I would have worried like, man, when Chris is distributing every state and has a rough farm and a thing, and he's a multimillionaire, I'm going to be so upset because I could have stayed in. Like, you can't think like that. Mm-mm. And, you know, and I say like, friends become partners is weird. But you mentioned you guys always communicate. I think that's something that Chris and I, we were good communicators. Even when we were biting each other's heads off, we never like had like that build up, start gossiping behind each other's backs, complaining about like the wives. Like when we were pissed off at each other, we were able to do that. And that communication really, really helped when we had to sit down and sign paperwork because we knew each other were being honest with one another.
I think that's one of the most important things with partners and businesses is like you have to keep that. It's like a marriage.
Yeah.
I mean, you're literally married to that other individual business-wise, and you need to keep that conversation open, talking about like, hey, and do it whenever it's you're both in a good mood, like, hey, man, just want to check in, make sure everything's good. And there would be times where Bryce and I were like, hey, we need to figure something out about this. Like, this is something that's bugging me. And I've mentioned it a couple times or whatever it is, vice versa. And we both would figure it out. We're like, oh, okay. Yeah, man, let's find a solution, you know? And, and that does make it harder if you have a partner who's not willing to communicate. Like, that's kind of like, you know, hopefully you pick the right one type deal. But yeah, I mean, like the communication thing and having that open line and also, you know, turning back and coming back around to saying how important communication is. And there'd be times where Bryce and I would be like, hey, listen, dude, like, I just want to make sure we're staying good. Everything's, you know, clear and open, and talk to me about anything you need or whatever it is. And I think that is super important in anything, marriage, business, whatever it is.
And I think something else that's overlooked in business with partners is establishing roles early.
So true.
And not getting mad at the other party when you wanted to change the roles,
mm-hmm.
like kind of in a marriage, like my wife and I, we have roles, and it's not because we're male, female. It's just like what we like. Yep. Like I mow the lawn, she vacuums the house. If one day I came at her and was like, yo, why haven't you mowed the lawn? She's like, that's not what I do. Well, I'm sick of mowing the lawn. Now you have to. She's like, no, I didn't. That's not like what I signed up for. Like, if Tara and I got married under the pretense that we were going to smoke cigarettes our whole lives and I quit and wanted her to quit, you know, you can't have that. And it's a long time to change roles, but like, and this, I'm speaking from experience because this was one thing that Chris and I, this was one of the things that we butt heads about. I would tend to micromanage him, or I would tend to blame him, or I think, yeah, micromanage the things he was doing or think that I had a better decision. And he'd be like, yo, know your role.
You know,
or I would hire a bartender because I was more front of the house. I would hire a bartender. He's like, why'd you hire that person? I'm like, know your role, you know? And when you can establish those roles and not get mad when the other person, like, write them down. Like, you are going to make bylaws. Like, write down, like, Brad, his role is to edit every single episode and post every single episode, right? So that when I come to you and I'm like, yo, you piece of shit, you never helped me edit. You're like, that's not what I signed up for, you know?
Right, exactly.
And like, I couldn't get mad because we've established roles, and you and Bryce did like an awesome job of doing that. And one of the things that I saw and that you kind of said was like, you didn't like your place in that role. So instead of saying to Bryce, you need to start making content and you need to start being more of like a public face in this business. Instead of you saying that and blaming him for not helping you, you just said, hey guys, I need to be replaced because I can no longer fulfill my role.
Right.
And when I had to say to Chris, Chris, the business is growing so much that I am a hindrance to your business. My salary is hurting the business because I don't have enough time with my job and my other hobbies to do my job, to fulfill my roles. And because I'm taking such a large salary, we can't hire people to help me. So I'm going to step away. And then you could take my salary and you can buy someone that did my role and then everything else. And that's kind of why I had to go. Because I couldn't be like, I've run the tasting room for 10 years, but now I'm sick of it. So I'm going to brew and you're going to do right. the tasting room. It's like, nah, right. dude, that's not how it works.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, and it's like you said, you can't just go change those things, you know, right off the bat. And every business has what's called an operating agreement, and everything that you guys talk about or decide or agree on needs to be in writing in that operating agreement. I don't care if it's with your best friend, you need to have it in writing. So that way, whenever something does come up and there's an argument or whatever it is, you pull that paper up and you're like, listen, dude, this is the agreement. We both signed it, legally documented. Like there's nothing else we can really, like there's no argument. There's no argument to be had because it's in writing.
When you get to that, it's in writing conversation, 9 times out of 10, the other party's going to be like, yeah, you're right.
Yep.
And that can open negotiation to changing those operating agreements. But like, yeah, having it in writing eliminates the he said, she said. It eliminates the that's not how the conversation went, you know? And yeah, and it could be as very simple as I'm going to edit and post all of the episodes. And then you saying, I will try and make reels and shorts when I can. You know, like that simple things that people be like, oh, we don't need to talk about that. My first business was literally a kid that I grew up in and lived in my house. We went on family vacations and literally one day ended 10 years of like brotherhood friendship because we didn't write things down. You know, now it's any agreement I go into with anybody, you know, and it's the first thing, like, let's establish roles and get an operating agreement. People are like, yo, man, it's not that serious. And I'm like, actually, it is.
Yeah.
It is that sure. serious. Yeah.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. So yeah, dude. Anyways, I'm living life and running. So speaking of,
yeah, now we need to know about the running.
Yeah. So it's something I've been excited to talk about. So as some of you know, some of you may not know, I have had been dealing with a knee injury from running. And I think a lot of it was from just ramping up miles too quick, too fast, too much, and also not knowing what the hell I was doing. When I first started running, all I knew was I'd put on my shoes, I go out and I run. And I run the distance that I've allotted for that day. I come in, post it on Strava because I guess that's what you have to do as a runner nowadays. And then that's it. Well, after doing that for so long, ramping up distances, not doing it the proper way, proper form, I started getting a knee injury or knee pain. And it kept getting worse and worse until finally it got so bad where I couldn't even run. I mean, I would take 5 steps and it was just shooting pain. So then I took like 4 or 5 weeks off and I ended up coming back to running, started up again. I was walking during that time of like the 4 to 6 weeks of break, walking the dog, you know, 3-4 miles just because I needed to move my body. And then after a while, I was like, screw this. I gotta get back to it. Started running again and no time. The knee pain was coming back. It arrived back. And then finally I was like, screw this. Like I had races I've signed up for. I got a 10 miler. I have a race for coming up next weekend. And I was supposed to be training for that. So then I took another 2 weeks off because the pain popped back up again. And then now just recently I went to see a PT because I was like, I gotta get this figured out. Gotta get it figured out. Went to the PT appointment and she pretty much said what I thought was, you know, mainly the PT appointment. I wanted to make sure there was no tissue issues. Nothing seemed out of the ordinary where she's like, hey, you may need to go get an MRI on this. So checked all that out. She said, oh yeah, you're good. you know, you got some strength issues you need to work on. You have some mobility issues you need to work on. She goes, and then we looked at my form and she's like, holy shit, you got some big issues you got to work on with this. So basically, come down to it, I'm a heel striker, a bad heel striker. And she took video of my running form. And, you know, you guys got to think, I'm coming from a background of never running in my life. I didn't know. I put on shoes and just go. So when she showed me the video, she took a second video explaining just a couple pointers of what to work on. And those were higher cadence, shorter strides, lifting my heels up closer to my butt, and leaning forward a little bit. And all those put into action, 15 seconds of her explaining it to me. I had the metrophone, is that what it's called?
Metronome.
At 170 beats per minute. And I was just boom, in place, bop, 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 bop. And she showed me the after video, and I was amazed at how much it improved just from her few critiques. So now I have a little workout plan for running. I have I did my first one today. It was a 1 mile jog and a 2 mile walk. Do that for 10 rounds. I meant minutes. A 1 minute run, jog, and then a 2 minute walk or rest. So did that for 10 rounds, ended up being exactly 2 miles or so, 30 minute workout. And it felt good. I kept my 170 beats per minute playing in my headphones for the entire 30 minutes. Thought I was going to shoot myself, but it did help. As soon as I started running, I tried to get on pace as best I could. And I really had to think about lifting my heels. That was probably the hardest part that I noticed in my running form that I've never done before. I never lift my heels up.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's very weird. But then, so I noticed my hamstrings, glutes, which have always been pretty weak on me, were already, I could feel them like getting sore. Not sore, but like I could feel the uncomfortableness in them. So like that's something I'm going to need to work on strength-wise. But as I was doing this, I did feel so much lighter on my feet. I felt not easier to run because it did feel very uncomfortable. It felt weird, but you've said this before, Brad. You're like, you feel almost like you're floating.
Yeah.
I'm not floating, but I'm almost there. I mean, this was my first practice run. So like I'm a little rusty, but like I did feel a huge change and just the placement of where my feet were landing. But the one thing I wanted to ask you, and I want your opinion on, is every time I did that 1 minute run and I was at the cadence, boom, 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 I could not slow down. Like I was looking at my heart rate spiking. I was looking at my pace spiking. And I was like, how in the hell do I slow down but keep all this shit going at the same? Like I want to run like 11 minute pace and I couldn't do it. I could not do it
at that pace. All right. So here's like that, but I want to circle to like one thing first. It's two things with the metronome. It sounds ridiculous, dude. Like I'll rap to myself because you have that metronome and it's like just a little baseline, like just spit bars about, but I don't know. That's but. And the other thing is like the floating thing is I try and like relate it to or compare it to if you've like ever played baseball and just connected with one or like golf, like you hit that drive square off the club and you just knew that like it was one of those special moments. Mm-hmm. When the mechanics start to come together with running, it feels like just all together. But it takes time and it's one of those things where it's, you don't even know it's happening. And then you like look around or you just get aware and you're like, oh my God, the first time I felt like that was really in Oregon in August.
I'm sorry, where?
Oregon. So, and like, that's a year and a half. And those races where I was like doing 6 mile runs at 7:15 pace. And I was like, I've never run faster than 8 minute miles in my life.
Right.
You know, and there was all, but it was the time, there was a lot of foundational work and that boring.
How did you slow down? Or are you getting there?
Yeah, I'm getting there.
Okay.
I just want to remind people that like, don't look at somebody's step 10 if you're on step one. Like, know that there's foundational work in everything. There's annoying work in anything. And by the time social media shows you to somebody, they've already gone through all that. So that's right. Like kind of like the fun part about watching yours. Mm-hmm. So one major thing that I learned, and this relates still back to that, how do I slow down, is every stride feels like you're trying to throw a dollar bill backwards, or like you're on a skateboard, like that kind of feel. Mm-hmm. Where like, if you were on a skateboard, you wouldn't put your leg out in front of you and then pull your leg through.
For sure.
You would kind of lead with your knee a little bit, and that's what the hip flexor does. And then you'd start that backstroke and contact the ground in motion, just like a skateboard. Well, then you realize with that, that contact time and how hard you'd push a skateboard and how high your knees are coming, meaning how far is that stride behind you? Because right, you're not striding out, you're hitting the ground right under your body mass. Well, you get all of that power through the road into that back kick. So to go slower, it's kind of like bunting or taking a three-quarter swing, or you know, just giving it like a half golf swing, like maybe like a 9-iron swing. The cadence stays higher, but the pull through the ground and the follow through with that heel to your butt just shrinks down. Your stride becomes a little bit smaller. And that's really what you do. And it feels more like you're like bouncing when you slow down like that, and you try and like you're walking on eggshells or whatnot.
Dude, when I was running today, I was like, if anyone is looking at me right now running, they're like, what in the fuck is that guy doing? Dude, it felt so unnatural.
Yeah.
So unnatural.
It does. And it feels unnatural, I said, while you're thinking about it, but the more you do it, and like, I think really when you stop thinking about it, that's really when it improves. Kind of like in darts, you just go up there. When you just go up there and throw it, you hit the bullseye. When you're like thinking about like how's every angle, where's my, you know, that's when you're going to like just cause yourself more stress than you need to. And you'll get to a point where you've done it. I talked about my progression from 140 to 150, 160, 70 cadence. And it just gets to a point where just like managing heart rate, you just know, like, I can tell my cadence now without looking at my watch, but it took 7 months of building 10 beats per minute a month on a metronome for the whole month, every run to get there. And now I my cadence is in the 180s where
that's crazy.
A year ago is in the 140s, and that's helped out the glutes, helped out my knees, helped out everything. And but that contact time under your body is so important, and it feels so weird.
Very weird. But I can tell, like you said, you know how when you make that connection to a ball and a bat or whatever, and it's just the right hit, I can tell what I'm doing. Like, I've had that thought in my head. I'm like, okay, I can see how this is going to improve. Like, I compared it to what my running form was previously, and like, although that feels natural to me, I also see why my stuff is hurting.
Yeah.
And then when I do this, I'm like, wow, because before, dude, I was so heavy on my feet, so heavy. And like, for my height, like, I'm a heavy guy. Like I'm 5'8", 5'9", 200. Well, now I'm like 200 pounds. Maybe like, I should be like 195. I need to weigh that. But I was like 210, you know, when I first started running. And for my short stature, like, that's a decent amount of weight. And if I'm, like you said, when you saw the video, you're like, dude, you're literally stabbing your leg. For the past 400 miles you've ran this year,
you weren't like forefooting. You were like literally like, if you were in the sand, it looked like you were jumping and trying to see how far you could dig your front leg into the sand.
That's why she said, she's like, oh my god, dude, you're a fucking disaster.
It's like when you see like a torn ACL in slow-mo and like NFL, you're like, oh, you go to those running things and you get on there and then they put it in slow-mo and you're like, my ankle does that, dude, every single step.
I know. It's not. And I've ran I think I've ran 400 miles this year. Or maybe that's a lifetime on Strava.
Dude, and you can do this at home. If you have a treadmill, put your phone on slow-mo on just your ankles and run at not too fast, not too slow, like a good forever pace. and then go back and watch it.
It's crazy.
And then you're like, that's why every NBA player has custom orthotics.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, and I looked at that and she's like, yeah, that's one of the big reasons why your knee is doing what it's doing. So is what it is, dude. But now I got some work ahead of me. I will say this. The hardest part with this is taking a major step back in my running career, whatever you want to call it. Because I really do want to focus on getting this form down, and this workout stuff she gave me is just, you know, walk, run, walk, run, walk, run intervals. And it picks up as the, if it picks up, if the knee pain doesn't come up. But with that, I am going to run the 10 mile race.
Yep.
She said, you're not going to hurt the knee anymore. She said, you may flare up the pain again.
And yeah. Cause you're, like, you're not injured. You're just have irritations and inflammations.
Yep. So she's like, you, if you want to do the race, she's like, you can. She goes, I wouldn't advise it. If you want your injury or, you know, your stuff to heal up faster, because all you're going to do is just hinder it longer. But she's like, if you are okay with that, then yeah, by all means, run your 10 mile race. But so I want to do it. I want to do the race. If I have to walk, jog the entire race, whatever, like I'm probably not going to PR my time or anything, which is, you know, whatever, but it's a race I signed up. I've been itching to do a race. I've been just wanting to do it ever since Mason and I did that 5K back on July 4th. That was our first race we've ever done. And I've been wanting to do one so bad ever since. That was a little longer distance. My mom's going to be in town and I'm like, I got to do this.
Road or a trail?
It's a road.
Nice.
Yeah.
Dude, so, yeah, no, it's going to be good. But just remember, you have an A race and that block starts on December 1st. Like your goal is to get to December 1st feeling as good as you can.
Yeah.
Because you got a big one.
I know.
You know, it's like I start with my coach on November 18th. Like I know that, yeah, I'm going to mess around the New York City Marathon, but like, every single thing leading up to everything is the 18th of November. That's all that matters to me.
Yeah.
Getting there healthy because Canyons is like a big deal.
Dude, I watched Sally, if you're her last name. Okay. Yes. I saw her race last year at Cocodona 250.
Yeah.
We were watching it at dinner and I literally told Lindsay, I said, this was the race. I think we talked about it one of the last podcasts. I said, this was the race that got me into this running. I said, how cool would it be 4 years from now, or maybe like, I don't know, maybe on my 35th birthday, I go and run Cocodona 250. Like that would be like, dude, if I ever could do that, that would be something in my wildest dreams. And it's kind of like selling the freaking dividend tracker, the software company. Never thought I would have done that. Never in my wildest dreams. And I get to say I did that in my lifetime. But that also gears me up and says, well, shit, if I can freaking do that, why can't I make my body run 250 miles? Somebody else has done it before. That means I can do it.
Do you follow her on social media?
I don't. I should.
Do you know what she just did last weekend?
She won whatever the latest race was.
She won Moab 240.
Moab 240. That's it.
But yeah, that completed the grand slam of 200 milers. So in 1 year, starting in May, she ran Cocodona 250. Then she ran the Tahoe 200. Then she ran the Bigfoot 200, and then she just finished this past weekend the Moab 240 and won Moab.
Wow.
All since May.
Like she got first place.
She won the race overall. She won the female triple crown, which is just the Tahoe 200, Bigfoot 200, and then Moab 240. That's the triple crown, and then the Grand Slam throws in Cocodona as well.
Unreal.
She just finished that. And they're all YouTube documented. Go to her channel.
I just watched the Cocodona one. Oh my gosh, dude.
I'll tell you when I plan to do it. I'm going to do 100 this year, or coming up 24, I'm going to do 100. and then one in the fall, and then one in the spring and one in the fall.
100 miler.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I think the fall might be a little longer, maybe 150, mm-hmm. 200K maybe, you know, it's like 125.
Okay.
And then the following October 25, I want to run Moab 240.
Yeah, I'm not ready for that yet. I'm still nervous as hell about a 100K a year from now.
I know you're going to smoke it. Just think about that.
I hope so, dude.
Just think about that podcast episode when you're like, yo, Brad, I fucked up your time.
I have a lot of training to do, man. I have a lot of training, but I'm ready to attack it. I do. So you mentioned your races. So September will be the race, the 100K grindstone. I will say I want to run a marathon and a 50K before that. There is the biggest marathon in Jacksonville. It's like the Don, I think it's called like the Donna Marathon or whatever. It's the mayor of Jacksonville. She had breast cancer, and everyone in the running space I've talked to has mentioned it. So it's a big marathon in February, and I think I'm going to sign up for that.
Yes.
So then once I get done with this 10 miler, I'll be training for that marathon. That'll help me get ready for the 100K, and I'll be training for that as well. So it's just like a stepping stone. And if I can throw a random trail run 50K in there before the 100K, that's kind of my goal.
I got one.
50K?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Bighorn June.
Oh, the one you told me about? Father's Day? I know. I want to do it, man. I told you. I'm on board.
I might want to do the 52 miler.
52. What's that?
They have 100. It's 100 and a 52, not 100 and a 50. But there's also a 50K.
Okay.
So do you want to do 50K? I'll run 50K with you.
We'll see. I don't know, dude. I don't know where I'm even going to be at there then.
I know. Will you get some fucking stability in your life, please?
Tell me about it, bro. I don't even know I'm going to be living in Florida then.
This guy's half moved out already. Look at those books on the floor.
Oh, my God.
All right, dude.
Well, I'm excited to document the journey, though. I am, dude. I'm excited to see how far you and I both come. Because, like, you've done a major body transformation, which has been freaking motivating as hell to watch. And I was on my way there, but then this injury really set me back. So I'm excited to see where the next, like, now that I know it's not a severe injury, I am excited to see where the next year you and I both are.
Yeah. And it's been fun. I've been very fortunate where it's been over a year for me that I've been going.
Right.
And it's really awesome to have that documentation and look back, and because a year can go by so fast, but like I posted my reels the other day, a year ago, I made a video on YouTube about how ecstatic I was that I broke 30 minutes in a 5K.
That's so crazy.
And like, I'm like on the camera and I'm like, oh, I knew it'd be close. I knew it'd be close. But oh my God. I think I got like 29:50. I think I did it, baby. And I'm so fired up. And I'm like, not to sound like I can't do it that slow now. I run a 20 minute. I took 10 minutes off a 3 mile race in a year.
Wow. That's crazy.
And I just can't wait. As we dream and we hope, like when we have an episode about you doing Cocodona and we have this, oh my God. Like, man, we were such scared little wimps.
I know.
But yeah, I think just signing up for stuff, just signing up for it and making a goal, like this Backyard Ultra, I just signed up for December 9th. Like the last one, I was like, let's go find out what this race is about. This one, I have like high expectations for myself. And that's another fun thing that's come along with the training is like, you start to feel like a runner, you know? Yeah. And I never thought I think one of the major reasons I didn't like running was I was like, I knew I could never quote be good at it. So like I self-sabotaged like, oh fuck running. Cause I knew I was so competitive. And I knew that like I was in the wrong league. But now that like, if I go to a local 5K for my age group, I'm going to do probably pretty well.
Yeah.
And that's crazy, man. It's
nuts.
It's dude, so nuts.
I heard something the other day real quick, and then we can close this up. But there's I don't know if it was a video or what, but it said, this blew my mind. 95% of Americans over the age of 30 will never sprint again in their lives. Think about that for a second. And it's so true.
That means if you know 100 people over 30, 95 of them haven't sprinted since their 30th birthday.
Wow. Or probably before that. That's insane, dude. Yeah. Insane. But I made a tweet the other day. I was like, the average American is divorced, overweight, and in debt.
We're trying to push through all of those things.
All of them. If you can take advantage of all three of those, dude, I'm telling you, your life is going to be so much better and more enjoyable.
I was talking to my students about this because they make fun of me because I'm old, right? And one of them was like, Finn, how old do you think you have to be before it's acceptable that you can't do a pull-up anymore?
One pull-up?
Yeah. He's like, you say you're 20, you're like, come on, man, one pull-up. But you say you're 80, you're like, dude's 80. Mm-hmm. So they were looking for like, what's that number? And I'm going to ask you what it is, and then I'll tell you what they said it was.
For me?
Well, like if you had to put a number on that, what do you personally think is an age where you'd be like, all right, man, fair play. You're getting old.
I would say, like, are you asking me for like the average American or like for myself?
No, like if you had to set the standard for you,
okay.
Like what age do you think it is? And I just want to compare it to what age they thought it should be.
So for one pull up, I'm going to be kind of nice here. I'll say like 65.
Okay. No, like, yeah, obviously like no other circumstances that would keep you from doing involved. Like just an average person that like used to go to gym class.
Right.
So you think if they're 64, they should still be doing pull ups?
Yes. I should at least be able to do one pull up. Yes.
All right. What do you, my kids? What do you think they said? 35.
What?
Yep.
They said, I was going to say 55, but they said 35, dude.
35. And I said, guys, I'm 41. And they're like, yeah, if I think about all my teachers that are over 35, you're probably the only one that I have that can do a pull-up.
What?
And I'm like, and then they're like, yeah, my dad can't do a pull-up. And they're like, yeah, my dad can't do a pull-up. And like,
what?
And it's just like their perception of what fitness should be and how important it is to life is so distorted from my, I said 50. I said, if you're 50 years old,
okay,
yeah. I'm cool with that. Like, I think people, but only because I'm 41. So I can see myself, like I should be able to do a pull-up for at least 9 more years. That's how I came up with 50. But when they were like, and like I said, when I said, guys, I'm over that age, they're like, yeah, we accept you, but nobody else. I was like, holy cow.
That's insane, dude.
But it aligns exactly with what you just said. 30 years old.
True.
Nobody sprints anymore. But
wow.
But I think it's just like anything, like smoking or like drinking. Like you have to figure it out on your own. You can't be told to.
True. 150%. I agree with you on that. You cannot be told.
Yeah.
Like it's something inside of you that needs to change for you to.
Yeah. You can't be like, oh, I heard Brad and JJ talking about running and I should go running. Like it should be, I heard Brad and JJ talking about running and I've been thinking about running and I probably should. All right, fuck it. I'll go do it. That's what it should be. Like that's the push I want to have on people.
Yeah, like my biggest thing, dude, was like, I thought of it this way. Like this was, I think, the turning point for me is, one, I am getting older. Like I'm still relatively young. I'm 32, but I'm getting old. I'm at that threshold now where like I'm officially over. Like when I hear videos and people on the news, older males, 30 and over, I'm like, oh shit, I'm in that group now. That was my first thing is like, I really do need to get my fitness under control. I also heard another saying out there was saying, you can fuck around in your 20s and be fine, you can fuck around in your 30s and be all right, but still have a harder time catching up. But when you get into your 40s, if you've been fucking around your 20 and 30 year olds, like fitness wise, you're going to screw up. Your 40s are going to be tough. They're going to be hard.
Yeah.
Now, if you can get your stuff straight 20s and 30s, that's going to make your 40s, 50s, and 60s be that much better, that much easier. So I'm like, I got to change something. I was fat. I was out of shape. I was drinking, you know, doing all that shit. And I cannot imagine continuously doing that over and over and over until I'm 70 years old and expect to be living a super healthy life at that age. So also, the other fact with that is my kids. I wanted my kids to see me as a dad who was in shape, can do anything I need to. And I also want to be a dad that when I walk around, like my son looks up to me and he's like, or my daughter looks up to me and they're like, yeah, my dad, you know, my dad ain't no joke. And then I look at some dads out there and I see just like, they're just, you know, fat, overweight, lazy. They don't want to do anything. They don't want to get out of their chair to play with their kids. That's not the dad I want to be.
Yeah. They can be that version of themselves. I don't care about them. That's not what I want. Yeah,
absolutely not. Yeah. More power to them if they want to do that. Me, no way. I would never want to live my life like that. You know, and if that hurts feelings, I'm sorry, but that's just not the way I want to live.
Yeah. I'm like more of like the camp of, I never want to be dad used to.
Watch me be like the fattest 45-year-old dad out there. Someone like plays this back 15 years from now. Like, hey, what happened, dude?
Yeah. Like I don't want to be dad used to play with us, or dad used to always go on a bike ride with us, or dad always brought us to a game, or dad used to, I just don't want to be dad used to ever. Mm-hmm. And I found myself getting to that point already when my kids were young. Like I never wanted there to be a time where Avery was like, dad, can you push me on the swing? And I had any reason to be like, nah, not right now. I'm busy. And I'm not saying I yes my kids all the time, but I think about being able to say yes more with added fitness and just a general over mental health, everything about me. Brody just learned how to ride a bike. And I ran up and down the street with them because they don't know how to stop. They don't know how to turn. They know how to go in a straight line. And I have a short, short street. So like, I must have ran 2 miles with the kid that day. And it was hot. It was summer. I was like, I wouldn't have been able to do this. Like, it would have been a disaster. Or like, I'm the dad that throws the kids in the pool all day. Mm-hmm. I'm the dad when a kid comes over to the house and like I throw them, the dad's like, don't do something once. You don't want to have to do 1,000 times. Oh, and then an hour later, I'm still just throwing his kid around the pool. Like that's the dad that I wanted to be, and why I, you know, like I was talking to one of my students who actually like blew my mind. And he was like, oh, what the heck did he say? I just lost my train of thought. Oh yeah, like the sacrifices that he made. He's going to like one of the Ivies to play lax or whatever. And he's like, you know, I had to realize that if I wasn't willing to sacrifice parties and hanging out with my friends, the sacrifice would become going to Ivy. So he's like, so I sacrificed the somewhat normal high school for the opportunity to not suffer in like what I really wanted to. And I was like, damn, that's so smart.
It's awesome, dude. He's beyond his years.
And you're going to have to sacrifice things. And for me, and like the context that I'm putting that in, like I'm sacrificing not drinking today. Don't know about tomorrow, but I'm not drinking today. Because of that reason, like I'm willing to sacrifice drinking for the person I wanted to be. And if I kept drinking, then that's not really the person that I wanted to be. And I just, yeah. I don't know where I was going with that. I'm getting babbly.
It's late. Yeah. I'm doing the same thing.
I don't even know how long we've been recording. I think we can go.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it was good. It was a good talk. Let's go, Cocodona 250 in 4 years.
We'll do it on their 10-year anniversary, which I think is 6 years away.
Perfect.
We'll do the 10-year anniversary one. Get in the Discord. Tell us what you're doing. Yep. Corey, you're a rock star, dude.
Congrats, buddy.
Thanks so much. And we look forward to the next person. It's going to be debt-free going on runs.
Yeah, baby.
All right. Good night, guys.